Owning an investment property can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Heritage Realty Property Management, they handle the challenges for you, ensure it's rented, maintained, and gets the highest return possible, while you just collect the check. With over 50 years' experience, you can trust Heritage Realty to provide the property care you want and rental knowledge you need. Visit heritagerealtyknox.com to connect with the team more landlords trust. Heritage Realty. We treat your property as if it were our own.
As well, unbelievable performance for them, but that's how you finish this. We've talked about this Lady Vol softball team most of this season. They're just like a step away, right? They've kind of been the third best team in the SEC all year long, beat the teams they're supposed to beat, lost the teams they're supposed to lose to, but if they can just catch something or get a little bit hot, this could be a team that makes a whole lot of noise in the postseason, Eric Kane.
Yeah, it absolutely could, and it's always coached well. It's got pitching. That's how you build a program. Lady Vols are balanced throughout the lineup, and you're going to play the winner of Mississippi State and LSU in the SEC tournament that's set to begin later this week. If they win, they will play Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern time, and that game, of course, will be held right here on the Sports Animal, so that's something to look forward to. Tennessee baseball, not the greatest weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday series at Kentucky and Lexington dropped the first two games. Of course, it was chilly. It was the worst weather you could possibly imagine. Tennessee escaped Lexington on Saturday, avoiding the sweep, but in the process of losing its first series of the season, Vanderbilt took down Georgia yesterday, and Tennessee was able to clinch the SEC East for the first time in back-to-back years since 1994 and 1995. Not a great weekend, but still Tennessee able to clinch its division.
Yeah, look, here's something that Kentucky did that I can't help but wonder. Look, you lose series sometimes. The first time they've lost a series in the season, right? It was interesting to me that Kentucky just said, I'm going to pitch around you, and I don't care if you put a bajillion base runners on. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to see if it can get you to chase things because you're an aggressive team. And yep, it'll be interesting to see if that is a strategy that people use moving forward against the Tennessee team, specifically teams that have more talent, frankly, than Kentucky does. To the NBA, Mavs beat the Suns 111-101 last night. That series tied at two games apiece. Kind of shocking where that series is right now. Like, a lot of people thought that the Suns were going to run away with that one. And it was the Sixers over the Heat, 116-108. Weird weekend in that series, too. Joel Embiid, the expectation was he doesn't play in Game 3 or Game 4. He ends up playing in both. Sixers end up winning both, and now both of these series tied, heading back to Phoenix and heading back to Miami. A little bit surprising to see this in the NBA this weekend.
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, an ugly scene there in Dallas as well last night. I don't know if you saw this, but you had some Dallas fans that were, you know, verbally harassing and even put their hands on some family members of Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Horrendous. I mean, there's no place for that.
Well, people don't know how to act.
I mean, you're exactly right. Remember after the pandemic where we started having fans back in arenas and we saw some incidences where they would throw stuff on the courts or, you know, whatever the case may be. Like, this is sadly another one of those examples. Just no place for that. But the NBA playoffs certainly beginning to heat up as well. And Rubens racing, right? NASCAR at Darlington Raceway yesterday, the Goodyear 400. Joe Logano, he bumped past William Byron in the next to last lap to win the Goodyear 400, capturing that checkered flag, breaking a 40-race winless drought. Tyler Reddick ended up with the silver, Justin Haley the bronze, Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott rounded out the top five. After the race, William Byron called Joey Logano a moron, saying that he doesn't know how to win, so he has to win that way.
Look, here's what's really, really interesting. The people that raced the way the racing was done for the history of the sport versus these dudes who want a parade drive, right? William Byron's a really good driver. He's leading the point standing right now, but it's weird who's at the top, right? It's Byron, Ross Chastain, Chase Elliott, 1, 2, 3, and then you get to Logano, Kyle Busch, and, you know, Kyle Larson's at 7, and some people like that, but this has been a thing that's been going on probably for about 10 years in racing, where you have the dudes that do it old school versus the dudes that want to do it new school, where you don't touch each other, and William Byron got a little upset. Joey Logano's a little bit of a dirty guy, but that's kind of a good thing in racing, if I'm being honest.
You need a villain as well, and plus, I mean, you know, if you have a chance to win, and Byron put him in the wall earlier in the race, and so he was like, all right, well, if I get that opportunity, I'm going to return serve.
Yep.
I'm going to go win this race, and that's what Logano did.
Yeah, didn't have a problem with it. Well, look, I'm not a Joey Logano fan, and I had no problem with that whatsoever, what exactly he did to win at Darlington yesterday. That is your look at your morning buzz. What you missed in the world of sports yesterday, it's brought to you by Heritage Realty. HeritageRealtyKnox.com, bringing together buyers and sellers in East Tennessee. Folks are amazing when it comes to property management as well. Maximizing your investment value, treating your property as if it's their own. That is Heritage Realty. What were you in on this weekend? What were you watching?
So, really, I was keeping track with Tennessee baseball stuff. Of course, I was traveling a little bit this weekend. Didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot of the NBA playoffs. No USFL for me this weekend. So it was more or less just trying to keep tabs Thursday through Saturday with Tennessee baseball. A game on Thursday that went into, 13 innings? Just incredible. Friday, couldn't complete it. Had it completed on Saturday. And just making sure Tennessee wasn't able to. I mean, here's the thing, too. Kentucky's a bad baseball team, but hey, that's baseball, and I was dialed in to make sure they weren't getting swept.
Did you see any of the coverage of the Derby, like the broadcast team that they had for the Derby?
I saw some social media reaction. I didn't watch any of it live.
It was the most bizarre grouping: a hockey analyst, the guy that does the map charts on the election day for MSNBC and NBC News. Okay. They had him. They had Rebecca Lowe, who anchors soccer coverage, anchoring the whole thing. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was there. Like, it was
a lot of people that don't know anything about horse racing.
Yeah, they know absolutely. They know exactly as much as you and I do about horse racing. They just kind of slung them on the screen together. It was brilliant to watch because it was just chaos. It really was. But the one thing about I watched for 2.5 hours, being like, okay, when's the Derby happening? When's the Derby happening? When's the Derby happening? Then we had tickets to go see Doctor Strange, and so I was like, okay, we got to leave. And the Derby happens right after I leave.
Of course,
so,
it always does.
Sit and watch two plus hours of coverage that had nothing to do with anything, and then miss the race itself. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. 656-9900 is your phone number. Okay, Tennessee baseball heads into the final series at Lindsey Nelson Stadium for the weekend, the final SEC series. What's left on the table? They've clinched the SEC East. Where are they in the overall SEC standings? And as we get ready for the SEC tournament coming up in just about 3 weeks, it's the starting lineup. 99.1, the Sports Animal. Here's Eric Kane with your buddy Greg, RVs and Motorhome Sports Update.
Despite dropping its first series of the season at Kentucky over the weekend, the Tennessee baseball team won its second straight SEC East title. It's first time the Vols have won their division in back-to-back seasons since the 94-95 seasons. Tennessee softball team finished off a sweep over Auburn 3-1. Riley White picked up the win in the circle for the Lady Vols. NBA playoff second round scores. The Mavs even things up with the Suns at 2 games apiece, 111-101. The 76ers did the same. That series stands 2-2 with Miami, 116-108, Sunday night victory. Grizzly star John Morant will likely miss game 4 of Memphis' second round series with the Warriors on Monday with knee soreness. Memphis trails in that one to Golden State 2-1. And in baseball, the Braves crush the Brewers 9-2. The Dodgers hammer the Cubs 7-1. It is 6:09. We'll have Pete Michaels traffic. He'll update you on the roadways and the interstates and Tennessee baseball. What's left in the regular season? That's coming up here on TSL. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
All right. Tennessee baseball over the weekend loses their first series of the season. Dropped 2-3 to Kentucky. Not a very good Kentucky baseball team as well. I will admit that I had problems with my SEC Network Plus, as one does when one tries to use SEC Network Plus and watch Tennessee baseball, Lady Vols softball. My mother-in-law was able to get her softball situation worked out yesterday, so we were able to watch that. Got to watch one game. The other two games, it was in and out whenever it would work and when it wouldn't work. So what do you do? I thought it was interesting what Kentucky did there, especially in that first game. I'm a pitch around you. Tennessee with 5 hits and had 15 runners left on base on just 5 hits. They just said, I don't care how many you put on base. If you get a hit on us, you're going to have to chase it. That's how it's going to have to work. For me, I'm looking at it like not just one series. Let's react to that. The strategy moving forward, is that what people try to do with Tennessee baseball? I don't think that's the case because it's baseball. Dudes are going to come after you, right? And somebody's going to say, no, I'm the one that can mow you down. And Tennessee baseball seems to do a good job of finding a way to get past that person when they do that. They did lose to Kentucky. They did clinch the SEC East because of what Vanderbilt was able to do to Georgia. So let me ask you this, Eric Kane. You covered this really closely for VolQuest and here for our station. What's left on the table right now for Tennessee baseball this last couple of weeks?
Honestly, it's just finishing strong and just trying to get everything lined up for Hoover, in my opinion. So right now, you have 4 starting pitchers who are ready to roll. You're going to need that in Hoover. You're going to need that come postseason play. And that's great. So just making sure you're lining up these guys, whether, this past weekend it was Chase Dolander who came in and was kind of the piggyback to play Tidwell on Saturday. That's probably not going to be the route moving forward. Is Tidwell going to be the piggyback guy? Do you want to move Drew Beam to the bullpen? Those are the questions you'll kind of have to answer. But just getting everything lined up. You got a really good Georgia team that's coming into town this weekend. It's the last home series of the regular season for Tennessee. And then you will travel to Mississippi State, which should be handled pretty easily by Tennessee next weekend. So 6 more SEC games left. You've already wrapped up the regular season. You've already wrapped up the regular season Eastern title. Georgia is second place in the SEC East. Tennessee has a 6-game lead on Georgia with 7 to go. So that's kind of where that math plays in. So you've done a great job up to this point. It's not surprising that Tennessee dropped an SEC series because, again, that's baseball. I would say it's surprising it waited until this long to do it. So it just kind of seems like, oh, my gosh, Tennessee lost. What are you going to do? That's normal. But it's about getting back on track, getting ready for Hoover.
It's baseball. Any concern that there's a little bit of a drop off of Tennessee right now? Any concern whatsoever?
No, I just think that it's kind of like, okay, well, Tennessee's been the top ranked team in the country for 2 months now. Tennessee's been killing everybody. It's just kind of maybe the boredom factor setting in a little bit. I'll be intrigued to see if Tennessee's still ranked number one by, you know, the 16 polls that are out there. We'll see where D1 baseball has them later today when the polls come out. But, you know, it's a team that's aggressive, like you were talking about. It's a team that's going to chase a little bit. You got to be more patient, all that. You know, there's Chase Burns, your Friday night starter, Blake Tidwell. They only combined to go through 7 innings in their starts in 2 games this weekend. That's a little bit concerning, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's a huge worry.
Hey, it's so okay. You have Bellarmine Tuesday. You have Georgia's their series coming up this weekend. Is that a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday? Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't remember.
The remaining 2 series left for Tennessee are Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Not great.
Yeah. But at least you got them all in one. It was last weekend, this weekend, next weekend. They're all in one. It's not like you're going Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then going back to the regular one, then going back.
So. Yeah, I don't love those series to begin with. That and the wraparound series. I don't know why the SEC tries to get cute. Let people know. Look, when you're a non-revenue sport, let people know when your game is at all times. This is when it starts, period, end of discussion. You don't have to come find me. I'll be there whenever. You'll always know when I start. So I'm not a huge fan of that. I don't know what the benefit is, too, especially if you're not going to put these games on television.
Well, the benefit would be you at least get, you guarantee to get that Thursday night game on television, which is great. And when you're the number one team in the country, I don't know why. It's because all these are, you know, done in the offseason.
Yeah.
But I don't know why you're not on TV more. So that's the thing. And then the wraparound series, like with softball, it's to guarantee that they're on the SEC network on that Monday. But I'm like you, I can't stand it. Why play Friday, Saturday, take a day off, and then play Monday? It makes no sense.
Makes no sense whatsoever. So, but I will say that there's, for Tennessee, you've won the SEC East. You have Arkansas that's the head on the SEC West. They haven't clinched yet, from what I understand, right? Is that correct? Am I right? I haven't looked at it in like 3 days.
They have not clinched. Yeah, no, they have not clinched the Western Division. They've clinched the Tennessee and Arkansas are the only 2 teams that have clinched a spot in Hoover.
In Hoover. So there's they have done that. But you're 4.5 games, I want to say, ahead on Arkansas right now. Four games right now ahead on Arkansas as far as the number one seed in Hoover. Can I bring something up that's a little off topic?
Yeah.
They're off topic-esque.
What's up?
There are a few things in sports I hate more than someone calling winning the SEC East a championship or the SEC West a championship.
Yeah.
That is not a championship. That is you've won your division, and now you move on to try to win a championship after you've won a division. It's not a Tennessee-centric conversation necessarily. When Butch Jones would say we won the SEC East championship, I'd be like, oh, gosh, what are you doing? That is gross. It's participation trophy stuff. Yeah. Everything's not a championship. So that's the Dodgers did not win the NL West championship last year. There's no championship involved in that. They lost to the Braves for the NL championship. And then, 2 years ago, we were able to win a world championship. But I digress. You don't have concerns right now that maybe boredom has stuck in, because here's the problem, right? If you got that team that crushes everybody and then they take a little bit of time off, history shows in every sport, then when they need to turn it back on, they have a little bit of an issue. I didn't buy that being the issue over the weekend. I just think on Thursday, Kentucky didn't give them anything to hit. And then rough weather, tough weekend series that split those last 2.
Yeah, and I mean, the bats were just cold, right? I mean, you said it there. You left, like, what, 15 guys on in that first game? I mean, Tennessee baseball is the best offensive team in the country. I mean, that just doesn't happen, right? I mean, it's baseball. It's humbling. It is what it is. But to your point, And I'm sure there's been teams that have done this, but just off the top of my head, and you and I have talked about this before, I mean, what team has been so dominant throughout the regular season that went on to finish the thing, right? I mean, it's been, I can't really think of one right off the top of the head that's, you know, went undefeated or was just the clear-cut number one team all year long.
Going wire to wire.
Yeah, wire to wire. And then when it was time to win the pennant, time to win the World Series, time to win the college football playoff, whatever the case may be, just didn't get the job done. You see it more in college football. I recognize that. That would be my concern for Tennessee. It's just like, okay, you were a couple weeks ago, Tennessee was the overwhelming betting favorite to win the World Series. Still the betting favorite right now, but it's just like, from that aspect, it's like, oh no, you got that bullseye on your back. But Tennessee's got a good offense. Tennessee's got good pitching. The bullpen is the unsung hero that no one talks about for Tennessee baseball. They are positioned well to make this run, and certainly they can make this run.
So when you're looking at Tennessee right now, we did this with you a few weeks ago. What does Tennessee still need to prove? What do they still need to show before we get to the postseason? We have 2 weeks left in the regular season. What do you still want to see from Tennessee to believe that they can get it done in Omaha?
Oh, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, every team can always get better. But, I mean, Tennessee's kind of proven.
They've answered those questions, right?
Yeah, like, you know, look at Ben Joyce. Can he pitch in high-leverage situations? You'd like to see it more, but he's proven twice in recent memory that he can pitch in high-leverage situations, and he can go more than one inning, one or two innings. I think that'll be huge for – you got a flamethrower coming out of the bullpen that can hit 103 consistently. I mean, what a weapon to have, right? So that was my biggest answer. You know, another answer throughout the season, and what does Tennessee look like when it's smacked with adversity? It's bounced back. It's proven that. I mean, this weekend, not necessarily, but it's done that a couple times already this season. They've continued to answer questions. Blake Tidwell, what's he going to look like? Now, Tidwell's had two straight weekends of not looking great, but if you use him in a piggyback type role, then that's going to be okay. So, you know, really, it's not necessarily that they have anything to prove, in my opinion. It's just, you know, what more can you fine tune and kind of get ready over the next two weekends before Hoover?
That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. 656-9900 is the phone number if you want to get online with us with the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline. Okay, we saw one of the biggest upsets in the history of sports on Saturday. We'll talk about that coming up, but it's not just about the Kentucky Derby. It's not just about 80-1 odds winning this. I want to know the greatest upsets that you've ever seen in your life. The ones you've been in the building for, the ones that you've watched, the ones that stand out to you the most in your mind with the biggest shocking results in sports. We talk about it next. Starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Kentucky Derby over the weekend. If you're like me and you sat there until 6:45 and you're like, I don't know when this is going to happen, but I guess I've got to leave. Watched hours, Eric Kane, of coverage of a bunch of people who have known nothing about sports talking about horse racing, and it was awesome, kind of. I don't know why it was awesome, but it kind of was. But watched a lot of the coverage. I don't know what time the race actually got going, but we did get Rich Strike. 80-1 odds. Of course, went back and watched the video of that race. Did you watch any of the Derby this weekend at all?
Nope. Sure didn't.
Absolutely not.
I'm not a huge horse racing guy. I mean, I like talking about leading up to it. Of course, I catch the entire race and, you know, 35 seconds on my phone after it happens. But watching it live, not me.
It's more of a social event than anything else. But what we did have is an absolutely shocking finish to the Kentucky Derby. Rich Strike, 80-1 odds. That is the second highest, the lowest odds to ever win the Kentucky Derby. It made me think, though, okay, where does this rank in all of, you know, sports, the sports annals, if you will, of the most shocking results to any sporting event that you have ever seen? If I just said we played like phrase association, word association, game association, what's the most shocking sports outcome that you have ever seen?
Oh, it's not even close. And I think this will be true for the rest of my life. It's UMBC knocking off Virginia in the first round of
16 versus the one.
Yeah, because it's never happened before. I think you had two times this happened, 15 knocking off a two, but it's never happened. And more so than anything, too, you remember Virginia was the number one overall seed.
So they weren't just a one seed, they were the one seed.
The one seed. And then Virginia comes back. You talk about a redemption story, wins the whole thing next year. But a 16 seed UMBC knocking off Virginia. I guess that was the March 2018 season. I mean, that was just incredible. I don't think we'll see anything like that ever again.
It's something I said for years would never happen. For years, I was like, we'll never see a 16 knock off of one. It's just what it takes to make that happen is just way too much. Well, gimmicky team a little bit like Virginia has, that Tony Bennett has at Virginia, versus a team that just knocked the bottom out of the three-point shot in UMBC. And you're right, we finally did get a 16 knocking off of one. That is a major one. For me, the one before your time, but the one that will always stand out is Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson. Yeah. Mike Tyson was the most unbeatable human being in sports. There was a moment there, I think, that in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen anyone more unbeatable than Mike Tyson, where I just didn't believe it was possible that this could happen. And especially Buster Douglas, that was just the next tomato can he's facing along the way, really, so they could do a fight overseas. That's why they did that. But they even put that fight together. But it was 42-1 odds. So you got to think, 80-1 just won in Rich Strike. 42-1 odds was Buster Douglas. So almost double Rich Strike was as far as least likely to happen. Went through and did some research this morning. The most shocking, or as far as Vegas is concerned, or as far as sports betting is concerned, the biggest upset of all time. Anyone to take a guess what the biggest upset of all time is for sports betting?
Is it Appalachian State, Michigan?
It is not. It's Leicester City winning the 2015-2016 English Premier League title. 5,000-1 odds for Leicester City to win the English Premier League title that year. So that's the biggest one we've ever had in the history of sports. You're right. As far as college football, the one that jumps out to everybody is going to be Appalachian State against Michigan. The fact that they were able to do that, right?
Yeah, and again, it was, I mean, even if you had the playoff system in place back then, I mean, Michigan was not getting in the playoff no matter what, right? So your national title hopes, they were dashed, right?
Immediately.
And Michigan was, I think they were ranked fifth in the country at that point.
Yep.
Appalachian State, a level down coming up, beating you in the Big House. That's incredible. So that one jumps out at me. And of course, the other one for me, you know, 1980 Miracle on Ice, that's a big one. But it would be your New York Giants.
Yeah, I mean, that is actually number two as far as sports betting favorite. Yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, because New England, we talked about it, wire to wire, undefeated, ran all the way to the Super Bowl, only for the Giants to knock him off. I mean, Eli Manning, man, he's the kryptonite of the Tom Brady and the Patriots, and knocking him off twice in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's kind of an unsung thing that happened in that game that nobody talks about, and I guess me being a Giants fan, that's why it sticks out to me. The Giants that year, for whatever reason, Tom Coughlin with his defense, they took their defensive ends, their starting defensive ends, and moved them to defensive tackles on passing situations. And the interior of the Patriots line couldn't handle that whatsoever. And so it was Justin Tuck and Osa Umanura, and they moved them to tackle, and they put two more ends in. So on passing downs, especially with the team that didn't run the ball as well as New England did, like New England didn't run the ball particularly well. So they kind of looked at it and said, we have enough in the back seven that if we can get to you, we'll tackle well enough if you run the draw on us. You're not going to burn us on that. And when they made that, that was a weird Giants team because they made that switch. And people didn't have an answer for it throughout the playoffs. And then Eli did enough. And it was one of the things that made me so mad with the Giants when they got away from that recipe that they had during the two Super Bowl runs was they stopped spending money on the offensive line, started putting into receivers. They just scrap heap whatever receiver and throw them out there, receivers and running backs, say, I've got Eli. I've got Eli with time. There's enough dudes that can catch a ball if it hits them in the hands that we'll be okay here. And then you had David Tyree with the helmet catch. That was one of those things that was just like, and then David Tyree retiring right after that to become a pastor makes you feel like that was a little bit of divine intervention on that, the fact that he was able to make that helmet catch. But the Patriots didn't have an answer. It was a really low scoring game. Patriots didn't have an answer for four defensive ends on the field at the same time, and it was just pass rush getting upfield and making disrupting. And the Giants were able to disrupt a passing attack that nobody else could stop that year because of doing that. And then Eli, big play after big play after big play. Eli Manning's like he looks befuddled, but he's clutch, man. That's one thing you could say about him. But that was actually one of the second biggest betting favorite of all time that has gone down in sports history.
The thing about that Tyree catch that sticks out to me is, and again, the catch was improbable. So, like, don't get me wrong, but Eli got out of that just to sling it up, right? I mean, he was caught up in the backfield, yep. And they were slinging him down. He's able to keep his balance, escape right, and just throw it up to him to give him a chance. I mean, that's the thing that'll stick out to me. And in terms of putting defensive ends and defensive tackles, you started seeing more of that in football, started seeing more of that in college football, more of that in the NFL. You know, we called it the green package at Carson Newman whenever you just put ends on there in passing situations just to go and rush the quarterback. In Tennessee, the Volunteers have done that in years past as well. But that's the one that sticks out to me in the NFL for sure. The Miracle on Ice, of course, you made a movie about that. If you make a movie about it, something went right for the U.S. Men's hockey team. But now, those are the biggest ones, without a doubt, the biggest one that jumps out to me, and I think this will forever be the case, is UMBC or Virginia.
The two for Tennessee that I would point to, 85 Sugar Bowl is the one that's for those of us that are middle-aged and older that will always stick out to us because it was almost like a coronation for Miami is what it seemed like that game was leading up to it. If you've ever gone back and, you know, we've given away over the years a copy of the DVD of the 85 Sugar Bowl game. And it was just a matter of this is just coronating Miami as it's their time. And Tennessee's just the next team in line and the train's about to run over them. And then Tennessee smoked them in that game. So that was one that jumps out. Another one was it 2010, 2011. It was, if you remember, Tyler Smith gets dismissed from the team because of everything that happened leading up to the Kansas game in that one. And I remember it was a Sunday and we did the NFL report from Calhoun's down on the river. At the time, John, and it was me and John, and I don't remember who else was with us. Maybe it was Josh and somebody else. But it was, we do the NFL report, and when it's just like, okay, this is going to be a slaughter, right? It's going to be this is just going to be a beating. Tennessee just had all of these things that kind of had to dismiss their best players and things like that. Yeah. Other dudes are getting suspended, and then they knock off the number one team in the nation, 76-68 that night. So that was one that will always stand out to me as well, is if I want to look at the biggest upsets in Tennessee history that came out on the good side, if you're a Tennessee fan, I think that game will always stand out to me. Tennessee knocking off the number one team in the nation in Kansas at Thompson Bowling Arena.
See, Duke knocked off UNLV one time in college hoops. I want to say that was 91?
Yeah, and I will say that team was unbeatable. That team was Mike Tyson level unbeatable. Nobody believed that they could beat them, but it was interesting because it was the Final Four game and they played Kansas right after that. And honestly, later had an awful game in that one against Kansas. There were a lot of people that accused them of trying to throw the game, which was weird. But Duke beating UNLV, that is one, you're right, that was one of the most shocking upsets that I have ever seen in my life. It's okay. True story. And anybody that knows my brother, I apologize for telling the story, Aaron. My brother, back in the day, my parents, we didn't get an Easter basket. We got a new sports hat. They would do our Easter basket instead of a baseball cap, right? Or instead of a sports hat.
Yeah.
And Aaron wanted a Duke hat because he liked Christian Leitner, and he wanted to see the run happen with Duke that year. And Duke won, and Aaron picks up the hat and throws it on his head and is jumping around and dumps everything from his Easter basket all over the floor. So just, and he was like, crap, I just blew this incredible moment that I enjoyed. But that UNLV team, if I'm looking at like the teams that I've looked at that are unbeatable over the years that lost, or the people that I thought were unbeatable over the years that lost, I don't know enough about the 1980 Winter Olympics as far as the Miracle on Ice, but I would say Mike Tyson losing to Buster Douglas, that UNLV team losing to Duke, even though that Duke team had, frankly, better NBA players and prospects on it than that UNLV team did, and then that Patriots team in 2007 losing, those are the three that probably stand out the most, though. Anyone else, any other one that jumps out to you?
Didn't the Patriots beat the Rams with Brady?
That was a massive, but yeah, they were a 14-point underdog against the greatest show on turf. You're absolutely right. That was a pretty big one. It's just that we forget that because the Patriots won so many Super Bowls after that, right?
That was kind of the coming out party. Who's this Tom Brady kid? Who are the New England Patriots? That kind of kickstarted all of it, though, right?
Yeah, it did. It absolutely did. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. Blank Space is next. Also, we want to know from you, Rich Strike, 80-1 underdog to win the Kentucky Derby, is able to handle it on Saturday. What are the most shocking sports outcomes that you have ever seen? There's still one we haven't mentioned that's one of the three biggest betting underdogs of all time that was able to get a win. And I'll tell you about it coming up in just a little bit. Starting lineup, 99.1, the sports animal. Here's Eric with your buddy Greg Arvey's and Motorhome Sports Update.
Despite dropping its first series of the season at Kentucky over the weekend, the Tennessee baseball team won its second straight SEC East title. It's the first time the Vols have won back-to-back divisional titles since 94 and 95. Tennessee softball team finished off a sweep over Auburn 3-1 on Sunday. NBA playoff second-round scores, the Mavs even things up at two games apiece with the Suns, 111-101 last night. The 76ers did the same with Miami, a 116-108 victory late last night. Grizzlies star Ja Morant will likely miss Game 4 of Memphis' second-round series with the Warriors on Monday with knee soreness. The Grizzlies trail in that series 2-1. The Braves crushed the Brewers 9-2. And in NASCAR, Joey Logano bumped past William Byron to take the checkered flag at the Goodyear 400 in Darlington. It is 6:42. We will have Blank Space coming up next here on TSL. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
All right, we're talking about the biggest, most shocking outcomes in sports history. Rich Strike, 80-1 underdog, ends up winning the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. The biggest sports betting underdog of all time has actually won was Leicester City. Leicester City at winning the EPL in 2015-2016. Number two was the New York Giants against the New England Patriots in 2007. Number three just happened last year, Eric Kane. I want to take a guess at it. Just happened last year in a not one of the big three, not one of the big four even.
Oh, then I have no clue. If it's not one of the big four, if it's not one of the big three, really.
U.S. Open tennis last year. Emma Raducanu, 400-1 odds to win that tournament. She came in as a qualifier and was able to be the first qualifier ever to win the U.S. Open for the women's side. So that was the Emma Raducanu last summer was the third biggest sports betting underdog to ever win of all time.
Worth noting real quick, though, sidebar before Blank Space. We talked about the big upset with Appalachian State beating Michigan back in 07.
Yep.
You had Carson Newman to beat UTC that year. UTC beat Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern beat App State. App State, of course, beat Michigan. Michigan beat Florida. Florida beat the national champion.
So
Carson Newman, your national champion.
Yeah, I was going to say, transitive property equals Carson Newman should have been the national champ.
That's exactly what that means, correct?
That was that pre-Eric Kane days?
Yeah, dark days there. You know, actually, if we're going to be more precise, very a lot better teams before my time at Carson Newman. But that's kind of how I figure it. Carson Newman, 07 national champion.
Yeah, if you use the transitive property, how in the world could you argue? 656-9900. You want to get on board with us right now? It's time for Blank Space. All right, Eric Kane, what do you have for us, man?
We got Tennessee dropped its first series of the season at Kentucky this weekend, but thanks to Vanderbilt's win over Georgia on Sunday, the Vols clinched the SEC East title. Blank is the word that sums up the weekend for the Diamond Vols.
Disappointing. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but that's still a disappointing weekend. That's not a very good Kentucky baseball team. So I would say disappointing is the word that I would use. Not the end of the world, nothing to freak out about. I don't know that anything necessarily projects towards what we see the rest of the season, but that was definitely a disappointing outcome for the Diamond Vols this weekend.
It's a really good win. It's a really good weekend for Kentucky because not only did you win a series against the top-ranked Volunteers, but you also probably got into the Hoover. You probably got into Hoover for the SEC tournament. If blah is a word, I would say blah. I mean, you know, at this point, even though it's only happened last year for the first time since like 97, you're the best team in the country, so winning your division is not necessarily something you want to celebrate. But you know, losing a series to a really, really bad team, that's baseball sometimes. So I would just kind of say blah. Number two, yesterday was Mother's Day. Blank is the best TV mom.
Before your time as well, and frankly, it was before my time, but whatever, the back in the day, there would be Braves rain delays when I was watching on Superstation WTBS. You would have a couple different things that they would show. One of those things was a show called Good Times. And there's a young woman by the name of Florida Evans who's trying to make it happen as they work to try to make ends meet on Good Times. And JJ, a little bit of a roustabout, a little bit of a knucklehead, if you will, would say dynamite alight. Florida Evans, I think, is the greatest. Because, look, it's easy, I think, to be a good parent if everything's working for you. So that's why I didn't say June Cleaver. But for the people, look, once you get a few Christmases under your belt, you kind of look at it and say, okay, who had to overcome adversity? And Florida Evans is one that overcame adversity.
Claire Huxtable's in this conversation. Carol Brady's in this
conversation. I feel good about
bringing
up the Cosby Show at this point. You know what I mean?
True, yeah. My answer would be Kitty Foreman of that 70s show.
Oh, okay.
Little comedic.
Was
in there.
Was she a good mom, though? That's the question that I would ask.
No, she was a good mom. She was just a little bit oblivious. Her and Red Foreman, who were also coming back in that 90s show. I will say Kitty Foreman allowing her child to, you know, get into some mischievous acts, but always bringing him and the daughter was a bad apple, always back and punishing them. I would say it's Kitty Foreman. Plus, she was just hilarious in that 70s show. Grizzly star Ja Morant is likely out for tonight's game 4 at Golden State, with Memphis trailing 2-1 and Morant's status up in the air. The series will last blank games with blank team winning.
I will say, look, I thought 6 coming in, I'll still say it's 6. I think that this Memphis team wants a fight, and I love that about this team, but the Warriors are still the Warriors, and the Splash Brothers are back, and Draymond gets to do whatever knucklehead stuff Draymond wants to do, and no one seems to want to punish him for it. So because of that, if he can flip off the crowd and doesn't have to sit, it is what it is. This Warriors team is going to win this in 6, like I thought at the beginning of the series.
Come on now, I thought you were for that stuff, a little old school basketball.
Yeah, well, flipping out the crowd and stuff like that's not great. I'm good with a little banging. There's nothing wrong with that. A little physicality I like. Pushing and shoving with your hands and then antics. I'm not a fan of antics. I'm a fan of the guy that does flip off the crowd, getting rocked the next time he comes into the lane, the referee swallows the whistle. That's what I'm a fan of.
I will also say the Warriors in 6. I felt good about that going into the series. Now, especially with Ja, who knows what his situation is. I didn't think it was going to be that serious, but likely out. Not for sure out, but likely out tonight. I'll say the Warriors in 6. Joey Logano bumped William Byron in the wall to win yesterday's Goodyear 400 at Darlington. Blank is the number of NASCAR races you've watched this year.
One NASCAR race this year. It's the least I've ever watched in my entire life. It's hard to find the product, I'm going to be honest. It's hard to find when it's on and how it's on and all that stuff. I'm chasing you down. With what we've had with so much rain and climate change and things like that, it's tough to find. A lot of races are getting pushed to Monday. I guess two, because I did watch the Monday race last week. So I guess 1.5, I guess, is probably the answer. But I've sat down to watch one race wire to wire on Sunday all season long. And time was every NASCAR race I could, as long as it wasn't up against the NFL, no. I was going to watch it. It's just NASCAR, how the mighty have fallen.
Man, there was a time where I used to watch NASCAR and take a nap every single Sunday. Yep. Every single Sunday.
Saw the Bill West. I think my dad actually, you have to pay him. Yeah, you have to pay him a rights fee on that.
I'm pretty sure, gosh, if this is last year, then I really am getting too old. I'm pretty sure they raced at the Coliseum earlier this year.
Yeah.
And
I watched that one too, so that's two. That's good. There
you go. I watched a good portion of that race, but outside of that, none. I didn't watch any at Bristol. I didn't watch any yesterday.
Bristol's the only other one I watched. So I watched Bristol. I forgot I watched the Coliseum as well. So that's, there you go. We have that. And I watched the Dover delay of the rain delay.
Yeah. So I would say probably 3/4 of one race, and that's bad because.
Let me ask you this. What would it take to get you back? To get you back to watch a NASCAR week in, week out? For me, it would be stick it like the NFL. You're at one or you're at four, and there ain't no in between. And you're always on Sunday, or if a couple, two Saturday night races a year, three a year, something like that, if you want to do it. But that's what it would take for me to get back to watching racing on the regular. Is do not make me look for you on a different channel. Yeah. Do not make me not try to figure out what time your game is. I'm not going to take the time to Google.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing for me, because so many times I'll look for the results on Sunday, expecting it to still be in progress. It's like it wrapped up last night. I'm like, what? I didn't even know they were. I didn't see anything on social media. Nothing. So probably just knowing when it's happening every single week. That 1-4 window is probably a good one. Last stop with Tennessee adding Brew McCoy to its offense last week. Blank will be the number of additional transfers added to the Volunteers offensive huddle this summer.
Do any of us really know this answer?
No.
So it's just a matter of who do you land and do you think they're good enough to find a way to get them on scholarship, right? That's the answer we'll look at. If I'm guessing, two. I'd say I'll put the over under at 2.5. What would you take?
Oh, I'd take the under. I think that they could add two. It's just like they're not going to take somebody just to take somebody. They don't have as many slots as I originally thought that they did. They would like to add another receiver, and I think that if they could find a running back with multiple years left that's a veteran, that's maybe even a bigger back. Like, again, all the stars going to have to align. I think they would take another running back. So I would say
offensive line, you think they're going to find one more offensive lineman somewhere out
there? There's just not a whole lot of talk right there. I mean, Tyler Steen from Vanderbilt was who they wanted.
Yeah.
He went to Alabama. So I think that they're just going to be like, all right, well, we'll roll with Gerald Mincy, JJ Crawford, internal options. I would, if you set the over under 2.5, I'd say under on offense, but I think it could be 2 if everything lines up.
That's Aaron Kane. I'm Will West, and that's Blank Space. It's brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. New Balance Knoxville, the suburban shopping center. Wide sizes, extra wide sizes, they have them. You'll love the styles and colorways they have for summer. It's New Balance Knoxville. All right, we'll get you caught up on what you missed in the world of sports yesterday with your morning buzz. Tennessee baseball. 2 more weeks of Tennessee baseball before we get to the postseason. It's what really matters, right? What does Tennessee still need to figure out, and what do they have left to prove on this season? Also, with Rich Strike winning at 80-1 odds, the most shocking sports outcomes of your lifetime. We talk about it next, starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.